Minnesota Reads on Northland Morning is produced at KUMD with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Our guest this morning is Todd Melby. He is the author of a book called A Lot Can Happen in the Middle of Nowhere, The Untold Story of the Making of Fargo. Todd, good morning. And oh my gosh, I'm so envious of you to have come up with the idea to write this book, and then just the process and the research that must have gone into it must have been like the most fun ever. How in the world did you end up in this fabulous catbird seat with a peek behind the scenes and the untold stories about the making of the movie?
Well, was it really a catbird seat, or was it, you know, something that's more akin to a chipper, perhaps?
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
We're not going there. Not going there.
Not yet, anyway.
No one's had enough coffee yet, Todd.
Right. Yeah, so I'm a reporter. I really like digging in deep to subjects, and I also really, really like movies. And I thought, well, you know, what a better movie than Fargo to dig deep into, because it says so much about us as Minnesotans. And so I just spent a couple of years talking to cast and crew members and finding obscure documents and audition tapes and putting together this book.
So tell me, what do you call, like, they don't even have operators anymore. I was going to say, you know, you just Google William H. Macy home phone number. I mean, how do you get a hold of these folks?
Well, IMDb Pro was a lot of help, so I paid to get an IMDb. And then once you're on that, you can look up the names of agents and managers, and then you can send them an email, and then bang, you know. Sometimes they say yes, sometimes they say no. And in the case of William H. Macy, who people remember played Jerry Lundegaard, he said yes. So I interviewed him for the book, and he also wrote the book's foreword.
Did you say to yourself, I've got to go to California to do this interview. It's February. It's Minnesota. I've got to go to California.
Right.
Or did you just do it over the phone?
Well, we paid somebody to go to his house and record a really high audio quality version of it because we were working on an audio documentary. So my wife and I first did an audio documentary about the movie Fargo for the film's 20th anniversary. And then once that was done, I said, oh, this could be a book. So then I pile on more and more interviews and more research and then wrote the book. But you're right. I was tempted to go to L.A. for the interview.
Yeah, you think? It seems to me that you missed kind of a perfect opportunity there. So first, let me ask you I'll give you your choice of between one and three, maybe one. We don't want to scoop your book too much.
Okay.
What was one of the stories, tidbits, pieces of information that really either surprised you, shocked you, or made you literally laugh out loud?
I'm glad you asked that question. There's a woman who was the stunt woman for the movie. Her name is Jennifer Lamb Hewitt. And she had to do the stunts. And so she was behind the shower curtain for Gene Lundegaard. If you remember the movie, you know, there's the kidnapping scene, the mother who was knitting, she runs upstairs, she hides in the bathroom, and it's pretty clear she's, you know, behind the shower curtain in the shower.
Right.
And so Jennifer had to basically be, she said she was, quote, like, almost like stapled to the, to two shower curtains, right? Because she has to, like, run out of the shower, scared for her life, and run through the door. And so she had practiced this blindfolded, like, multiple times. So she knew exactly, like, how many steps there was from the bathtub through the door. And then at the last minute, they changed it, and they decided to put her in an apple cart right next to the, you know, the makeshift shower, because it wasn't in the actual bathroom. It was on a soundstage. So they put her on this apple cart right next to the actual shower, so her steps were then slightly off. So by the time she ran through the door with the shower curtain blinding her, she missed. She hit the door again. Yes. And she kind of like twirled around and fell down. And so she wasn't able to complete the scene that day. And they were worried she might have a concussion, etc. She turned out to be fine. But she said to this day, when she looks in the mirror and she looks up close, she says, to this day, I have my Fargo dent.
Oh, no. That's awful.
But she said it in a very loving way because she's a stunt woman.
Oh, well, yeah. That's the kind of thing where you find out later that they use that take and the directors are like, excellent, excellent, you know.
No, they definitely didn't use that one because they needed her to keep running.
To keep running. Oh, yeah. Bummer. Bummer. So let me ask you, with making no effort at all to conceal my own agenda, let me ask you what complaints people come up to you with once they find out that you're working on the movie. Those of us who live in this area, what complaints they come to you with all the time? Is it about the dialect? Is it about geographic liberties taken? What do those of us, air quotes, from here, gripe about to you the most?
People talk about the accent the most, and most people have come to, you know, embrace the movie and, you know, the accent, the funny hats, the food, everything. But there are still some people who think that the accent's wrong or that they're making fun of us, et cetera, et cetera. I did a live reading in person at the Trilon Theater in Minneapolis. You know, everybody had masks on. This was like the day after the book was released. And one guy said, yeah, 25 years ago, he saw it and he hated it. And so now, 25 years later, he was coming to the theater to try to come to grips with this movie.
So he's still working through his issues. Thank heavens that you're there to support him. I tell you what irks me, because I know that was going to be your next question. I don't remember, I'll tell you the honest truth, I don't remember it from the movie as much as I remember it from the TV series, but we know where things are. If you're in Fargo, you go over to Brainerd. You don't go down to Brainerd. You don't go up to Brainerd. You go over to Brainerd. We know where things are. You don't go over to the cities. You go down to the cities. And we know
when she's down in the cities talking to Jerry at the car dealership, you know, she says she's from up, you know, up North Brainerd way.
Right. But in the series in particular, which of course I adored the whole thing, but they just couldn't seem to use the right words when they were talking about, you know, going from this place to this place. You know, they'd go up here, they'd go down. No, you go over.
Well, the series is inferior.
Obviously. So, you know, I mean, the things that bug people. You know, Minnesotans aren't really crabby unless you start talking about us. And then on the surface, you know, we're nodding, smiling, Minnesota nice, and underneath we're going, idiots.
For sure.
So tell me when William H. Macy he was going to write the foreword to the book. And obviously, when you interviewed him, you had the opportunity to talk with him at length. I'm assuming that you had the opportunity to talk with Frances McDormand at length, since she's married to one of the Coen brothers. First of all, we want to know, are they as nice as they seem? And then did he consult with you? What kind of interactions did you have with him as you got down to the nitty gritty of his writing the introduction? Or could he kind of do that sort of in a bubble without needing to really bounce anything off you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, just to let folks know, I didn't interview Frances McDormand and I didn't interview the Coen brothers. You know, as a reporter, you put your requests out there and some people say yes and some people say no. And for about 10 years, McDormand spoke to almost no reporters. It wasn't until recently when she was nominated for Nomadland that she started doing, you know, the charm circuit again and talking to lots of folks. And some actors and directors are just tired of talking to reporters because they have to do it so much for their work. Or, you know, in the case of the Coen brothers, they're often just like not, they're just kind of toying with you anyway. So as far as like Macy goes, you know, I just asked him questions like I would anybody else about very specific scenes, about his approach to it as an actor, you know, about the work and about like what attracted him to the script and about how he fought to get into the movie. And then I just went off and wrote it. And then, of course, for myself as a writer, I write and rewrite and rewrite and rewrite to get at the best, most compelling copy I can. So, you know, when he wrote his foreword, you know, I helped him out with the edits just a little bit here and there.
You know, you have written some serious work and I want to say serious work. Not that this isn't a serious work, but I mean, you've written some serious work and come to grips with some things that are very difficult. You did a public media series on the North Dakota oil boom, and I can imagine that that was definitely a mixed bag of stories. And you've also produced some stuff that are that is maybe not uplifting. This seems like an absolutely delightful project. Who doesn't want to discover things about a beloved movie that they didn't know? Who doesn't want to take a deep dive? And I'm not talking about, you know, looking for dirt on people necessarily. I'm just talking about who doesn't want to just, you know, take a deep dive and learn more about a movie. For example, it was made in our own backyard. Did working on this make you want to go, I want to do another one of these? I want to take a deep dive into, I don't know, Purple Rain or something.
Yeah, it did. It did, exactly. And you're right. I've done so many serious, you know, gripping things that I really wanted something lighter. So, you know, I sought out a project that was more in that vein. Though there is, you know, there is some serious stuff in here. Once I, of course, dug into it, you know, it's more than just anecdotes. It's a lot about like how the Coen brothers wrote the screenplay, their writing process, which is a lot more exciting than you might think. They're not just quiet and typing. They're often like, you know, acting out lines as they're trying to think of them. They often don't know where it's going to go. Like they don't have an outline when they write. You know, they just go scene A, scene B, scene C. So they often get stuck. In this movie, they got stuck when the interior chef's apartment, you know, Carl is having sex with the escort. After that, like, they didn't know where the screenplay was going to go. I mean, they knew. Yeah. So anyway, I was able to dive into lots and lots of stuff.
It sounds fascinating. If you were going to do another book kind of in this vein, would you pick another Minnesota movie? I guess I threw out Purple Rain, but would you pick out another Minnesota movie, or would you just pick a movie that you really love and go to town?
I think I'd probably pick a movie I really loved and go to town, as we say. Which I like that. I like that phrase, by the way.
Well, Todd, it has been so much fun to talk with you about this morning. The book is called A Lot Can Happen in the Middle of Nowhere, The Untold Story of the Making of Fargo. It's published by the Minnesota Historical Society Press is the publisher of this one. And Todd, thanks again for being our guest this morning. What a treat. It was super fun.
Yeah, thank you, Lisa. Bye.
Todd Melby this morning, our guest on Minnesota Reads. Minnesota Reads on KUMD, supported with funding provided in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.